Dark wings,
dork words,
a Game of Thrones podcast,
season 6, episode 2,
home.
Hey everybody, Chuck Davis here. Welcome back to more Game of Thrones podcast style chit chat.
Dark Wings, Dork Words.
Ooh. The Chuck Pod.
The Throne Zone. Me and my homies here on episode home. Why don't you introduce yourself to the nice people?
Mike Hergert.
Chris Voorhees.
Craig McCallie, and special guest, hopefully not, Maya the dog.
Don't you mean Dire Wolf?
Yeah.
Dire Wolf Maya.
The mini Dire Wolf.
She should be happy because Ghost got plenty of screen time this week.
Yeah. She's a toy Dire Wolf.
She's been pent up like the dragon, so she's much smaller size.
Well, she shouldn't keep up.
Shouldn't keep her in that kennel.
She should break out of it.
Yeah. Ooh. Good point.
We had a lot of milestone moments in this episode. Some anticipated and some not so much. They're kind of dragging us back to a Feast for Crows territory with the Greyjoys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the intro of, is that Euron?
Yeah, is it Euron or Victorian?
Or is it Valedictorian?
Oh. It's Victarion.
Victarion.
Victarion, apparently through his brother, whose name was what?
Baelon,
yes. Now, in the books, I think...
It's unclear who kills Baelon.
Right, but Victarion shows up the next day like, right. Hey, I hear my brother's dead.
What a coincidence.
I'm glad they kind of put that to... Made it a little more clear.
So that was Victarion then? That didn't really... Victarion was like super badass in the books, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was kind of like more of a...
That guy didn't look super badass.
Well, he said he was all kinds of badass. I'm the storm. Yeah. Fucking...
Didn't he have a bookish brother too? He looked more like the bookish brother.
Right.
Which one was that? Or was that a...
Bookish Greyjoy.
We might meet the bookish brother. That's the one that...
Was that Euron?
Is that Euron?
Aaron Damphair.
He was the religious
brother. He was the
white-haired guy who's
who put her in the drowning, put him in the river.
He said there has to be a king's moot,
right?
Or maybe a queen's moot, right?
Yep.
He didn't seem to think not that was likely, gonna fly.
Bitch.
Well, he said maybe you'll get lucky and you'll be the first one.
Yeah, but
or not.
And then Theon's heading back that way too. So
home.
All right. But which he didn't do when this story played out in the books. But Yara has got to make a power play. She's going to have to consolidate her power, so she might visit the bookish brother. I mean, I really didn't think we'd see any of these people again. I thought they had just sort of...
Who called it? Was it Mike that called it? Who said we were going to see this again?
Well, I thought I saw some in the preview.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, we saw Yara in the preview.
Now, we talked about this probably a year, or was it last season or two seasons ago? We're like, will we see them again? And you said, nah, it's gone. It's Gandhi.
What do I know? I mean, but I guess maybe they, so maybe some of the stuff that plays out of what the Iron Islanders, what Victarion is up to in the books, was looking pretty...
Must be important.
Pretty important. So maybe, I mean... I guess they couldn't write that stuff off. Maybe Victarion does have the horn that helps him control dragons that he claims to have in the books.
Oh, that's right. Do we remember the name of that horn?
It's one of the two horns.
There's the Horn of Winter. I guess it could be the Horn of Summer.
The Horn of Summer?
Or
Dragon horn.
The rusty trombone.
I don't think it's that.
We'll see. Let Ramsey get his hands on it.
Ooh. Yeesh.
In the news this week, regicide.
A lot of... What do we think of that whole Bolton killing?
It seems a little too... I don't know. I shouldn't say rushed. I mean...
Oh, it's totally rushed. He's way quick on the draw. Who the hell's going to follow Ramsey? I mean...
The Karstarks, apparently.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm,
and two other houses, right?
That mentioned. That
comprise the bulk Umbers. Of the northern
the Umbers.
Surface fleet.
And the Mormonts? Did they say Mormonts?
Manderleys.
Oh, okay.
They're the ones from White Harbor?
Yeah.
Right. But they were only sort of pretending to support the books, Boltons in the books.
Yeah.
They were sort of helping Davos get away with some stuff.
But, I mean, is anybody sad to see Roose Bolton get stabbed to death? Not really.
Well, no.
No, he's a terrible fucker, but...
I don't care. Yeah, the character got what he deserved.
He's smart, though. He's a smart guy.
But it's just a little too easy. Ramsay could have just flipped out and stabbed him at any point in his entire life.
No, he just got the news that...
He knew the baby was coming. I just didn't think he would jump right on it that fast. I thought there'd be a lot more sort of mustache twirling, scheming, plotting, dirty looks at the baby kind of a thing.
They'd be circling each other for a couple episodes and we'd be sitting here talking about who's going to kill who for a while.
Right,
yeah.
Instead.
But they don't have time for that.
Ramsey.
They got more story.
Ain't no showrunner got time for that.
Well, you know, that's why they bring the Greyjoys back, because they've killed enough main characters now, they can introduce a new subplot. What we need.
If they wanted to build to a showdown in the north to finally settle what was going to happen, it had to be the Boltons against whatever, the Night's Watch and the Wildlings. And I guess, like in the scene, Roost says, what, you want me to kill the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch? That the whole north would turn against us.
Right.
That is true. So they had to kill him. So that Ramsay can move the plot forward at a rapid clip.
Ramsay's not a tactician like Roose is. He's just kind of brute force.
He was pretty clever in the books, though. I mean, his whole reek switcheroo thing was pretty cunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I bet, he's prone to despicable, violent acts, but he does premeditate a lot of them.
Just got to call for his new mother and his new brother and say,
pretty vicious.
Yeah.
I was really nervous when he was holding that baby.
Yeah.
That he was just going to dash it against hope.
Just do the same thing that the giant did to
To that Archer.
Archer 1. Archer 1.
That was Archer pretty great.
Archer 1.
Everything is a little bit happening to... neat and tidy and fast up at the wall for me, I think. Just the way all the wildlings come back and somehow... I mean, that probably should have been a slaughter where they would have just...
There was a lot of hemming and hawing, like uncharacteristic for that bunch.
You just have to read between the lines that Ed had a very, productive conversation with Tormund. Said, look, we're going to bust in there. Don't kill everybody.
promise me. You promise? Okay, promise me.
I think it's a little odd that Davos had to talk Melisandre into trying to raise Jon.
Nah, she's broken. And
yeah, she's completely disenchanted. She's lost her faith.
Yeah.
I can get that, but I don't get that Davos would want her to do that.
Well, I don't get why Davos is so loyal to Jon Snow in the first place.
That's the part that I don't think they built it up.
Did Davos at any point say to Jon Snow, like, I knew your father and he was good? Did that happen, or someone said that?
Yeah, I think so.
He might have. I they said a few kind exchanges, I think, but not to the point. I mean, if Davos was going to tell Melisandre to raise anybody from the dead, it would be Stannis. But they, yeah, but they don't have his corpse on hand, though.
Right.
And it's probably beheaded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can just sew it back on. And
actually, we've not seen the seen Stannis actually be dead.
Do you think he's going to come
it
back?
It was implied. I mean, she was swinging her sword at him at the end of last season, but they never showed him actually dead.
You think they're going to pull a?
If there's no body, I don't think we can assume he's dead yet, can we?
Habeas corpus.
It's not like they've been It's not like they've been shy about showing the actual dead characters.
Right.
But Stannis, we have not seen him. Am I wrong about
there's
that?
No raise, there's no raising that. Oberyn. I'll put it that way.
That's true.
They'd have to do a little reconstruction of the Humpty skull.
Undead Mountain got some head cracking today, too. Mm. With a tall telling... peasant. Tall tailing peasant.
Right.
How did he...
What was up with that scene? What is even the purpose
of it? Everything was stilted. This episode was just about every...
I think it was maybe just the whole... Well, I guess they haven't called him Robert Strong, but it's like... Qyburn was like, he's here to defeat any of the queen's enemies. So it's like, even this little...
Anybody who badmouths
He just happened queen. To be... Walking about, I mean, I feel like he's.
I thought that showed
next
that
to Cersei all the time. Not
I
like
that showed that he has intelligence because you can't tell behind that thing. Because immediately you think of Frankenstein's monster, right? Who?
Well, but how did he even? Was he in the room? Did he hear? Is he like?
Well, didn't they say something about Qyburn? He's the new master of what is he?
Whispers.
Is zombies.
He, is he that plus the High Maester or Grand Maester?
Well, he's not the Grand Maester because he's not a Maester.
Oh, because he's not a Maester at all.
Right.
All right.
But he's the new Master of Whispers.
Okay, so he's got the network of little spies informing, and so somebody probably overheard this guy telling his tall tales, and it got back to Qyburn, who dispatched.
Are you saying that people?
Franken Mountain.
Cocks aren't the size they're saying they are.
Well, I guess we can.
They're not the size that he was saying they are. There were a lot of little moments. I mean, it covered a lot of ground. It felt a little rushed and strange in places. But they just got to move those pieces into place to let things shake out the way they want.
Well, it seems like maybe your Tyrion Dragon Rider theory is gonna. Come into play.
Was there ever any doubt?
there was never any doubt.
No, he could easily not be a dragon rider still, but I mean, I think we all knew that he would share some.
Isn't it Chuck hedging his bets?
Well, I guess if it's the whole Targaryen blood thing that sort of makes you dragon rider.
So are you a believer in the Tyrion is actually a Targaryen?
No.
Theory?
I'm thinking if he's not a dragon rider, it's purely for his lack of Targaryen blood.
Okay.
But is that
There is a theory, yes, that Tywin's wife was raped by the Mad King.
Oh, my. Is there any evidence or seeds planted of that whatsoever?
Evidence.
Who needs evidence?
I thought there was, but I
some comments can't substantiate somewhere that. In there.
This calls for research.
You'll have to go in the forums tomorrow.
I think there is a theory out there.
Sorry, work.
Then that's why little more.
That's why there's some more hatred towards
Tywin. Yeah, hated.
Oh, okay, sure.
Hated him so much beyond just being a dwarf that he may not actually be a Lannister.
And that makes Tyrion, Jon, and Daenerys all siblings,
right?
Let's hop on those dragons and tear shit up.
Let's do it. So those dragons, did those dragons lose their color or was it just dark in there? They looked all kind of charcoalish, didn't they?
I think it was just dark.
Everything loses its color sometimes.
Ooh.
I just turned the light off in the room. You can't see that. But
yeah.
It's got a whole lot spookier. So that was kind of a moment that hasn't happened in the books. Where Tyrion
unchaining the dragons.
Well, just
didn't let them out though.
Tyrion getting to communicate with the dragons to encounter them and try to share or put into use some of his.
Can they get out that front door now or no?
Well, I'm wondering.
Phil said when we were watching, they're going to need a bigger door to clear.
Well, they'll make it a new door, won't they?
No, yeah. There is a big door on the other side of the room or something, I think.
Well, they were big when she brought him in there. So
right.
Had to be.
No, that's true.
But why didn't they just let him out?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the whole point?
Well, I mean, the door's open now. Maybe they're like, nope. Door's open. This door.
Come on in.
Well, no, the big door's not open, right?
Well, open the big door.
The door that they came in through is open. Yeah.
But then they won't have their dragons anymore, and then they won't have their claim to ruling the city anymore.
Well, but dragons aren't doing them any good down in that hole. They need to be out there killing and intimidating people.
Yep.
Well, but they'll just fly off to
eat some goats,
other lands. Maybe they'll home in on Danny. Yeah.
Well, then what do they think they're doing with them dragons if they're not going to let them out?
Tyrion's that only at step one of his 10-step plan to dragon riding. First, establish some empathy.
Tyrion's 10-step plan for ruling Meereen. Step one, wander around the empty city. Step two, unchain the dragons. I'm not seeing any trajectory here.
He just drinks and knows stuff, guys.
Right.
Seems like the Tommen and Cersei's tender moment means that Cersei's going to be back in charge.
Yeah.
That'll stir things up quite a bit. And the High Sparrow and his...
You think
Jamie
Cersei's going to be back in charge? She seems a little hopeless.
She seems to have given up.
I think she was until Tommen said, help me.
Yeah.
Help me be strong.
Yeah. Like you.
I think
she's going to put the be in his ear all the time now.
Yeah.
I said that he had a Joffrey-like line the first time Tommen has kind of said something that was semi-bloodthirsty. Like, I should have killed them all. You know, his family.
Had the sept come down. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But also kind of Joffrey sounding without the pure vitriol recklessness. But
see, I'm not, I don't quite get the deterrence of the sparrows. And there seem to be a lot of them, but they're basically sporting clubs. There's got to be enough guys with armor and swords around to just take care of this problem by now.
You know, it does seem like they could just...
Or the king has no power.
Are people such strong believers that they don't want to mess with the faith militant? Or
I think...
What people?
The city guard, the...
Oh.
You know, are they too religious to risk it?
I feel like in the book that there was just so many of the sparrows... followers, and there was just
they were
just kind of camped out like all around the sept, and there were, I don't know, thousands of them or whatever.
So like, there's like Occupy Wall Street,
right? Just a bunch of homeless looking guys with clubs,
wicked clubs, or holy clubs, like
wicked
holy clubba. Spiked clubs.
That's kind of a good conversation between Jamie and the High Sparrow. Threats both ways. Kind of like, oh, well, you know, I could kill you before these guys get down here, but it's like, oh, I deserve it, you know. It's like none of these guys have anything to lose. They're all poor or whatever, and it's...
And devout.
Yeah. They don't really fear. They just fear the father, the mother, and the warrior. Not the other four and the seven.
Not the stranger.
Not the Scrooge. Not the the juggler.
The thimble.
Or the race car. It's not Monopoly.
Not yet. Oh, no, I'm sure there's a Game of Thrones Monopoly.
Ooh, I bet there is. We should get it.
I have to find out.
Oh, there's a Game of Thrones pinball.
Did you play it?
I played it.
Did you like it?
It was all right. Yeah. You choose your house when you first start up.
Right.
And then, I don't know, then you get the house-related sounds.
Did you get an extra bowl?
did you get a replay?
No.
Well, I mean, you just saw The Who, so I feel like you should know how to play pinball. You were not a pinball wizard.
I did play Pinball Wizard on the jukebox while we were there playing pinball.
Yep. Oh, it's getting so meta.
There is a Game of Thrones Monopoly.
Ooh.
What's Boardwalk then?
King's Landing?
King's Landing? Or the Red Keep?
I can't read it.
We'll order it this week. We'll play it and review it next week.
Amazon Prime. Go, Craig.
I really liked Bran's time traveling flashback.
Yes, the first flashback. We're going to get a lot of background information.
Are we going to see
flashback this season?
Are we going to see Scene Bean again this year?
Oh, that would be interesting.
Right.
That's entirely possible, although entirely unnecessary as well. But maybe.
Oh, I don't think it has to be necessary, right? We've got to have the Tower of Joy scene.
That's what I've heard, so.
Okay.
But they could get a younger guy.
Well, that's sort of.
That might be
it could be.
End of season cliffhanger moment type of thing.
The Tower of Joy?
Yeah.
Or like Ned arriving at the Tower of Joy?
Yeah. Probably more that. Setting the stage for it without the payoff.
So what do we think happened to Hodor to make him not be able to talk?
Oh, well, I guess we'll have to have at least another flashback to explain that.
Well, yeah, we'll find out for sure.
I'm going to say when Sir Roderick wasn't around, the kids were sparring, and the kids coaxed him into being a sparring partner like they were about to do.
And he hurt somebody.
Maybe? I guess it was old Nan that hauled him off. But yeah, I think one of the kids probably accidentally fucks him up.
Some bully shit.
And I don't know. That's the simplest explanation, but who knows?
Always the bully's fault.
So that's mildly interesting. But what do you think they're doing, filling up time with the Hodor backstory? I guess is my general impression about a lot of. Same with the tall tale teller earlier. I mean, it just feels like precious minutes being flushed away for no purpose.
I don't know about that. Everything has a purpose. I mean, the tall tale teller getting killed is just exemplary of what is going on. That basically Cersei's enemies now.
Robert Strong's loyalty to Cersei.
Yeah, that's all there. I mean, with a fairly quick way to do it, a little color flavorful. I don't know. It was stupid, but
he smashed his head real good. I liked it.
I guess, Craig's assumption was that we know he's intelligent.
Well, but maybe if he was just told by someone, go kill this dude, that's one thing. But if he was there listening and observing, and he has the ability to autonomously seek out Cersei's enemies without any other, guidance, that's different. You know?
I don't think he was listening, though.
He was just hanging out in the back, having a drink.
I don't think
didn't it seem like it happened right after the guy told the tale?
I think that was just poor editing.
It's like, the guy told the story, and I feel like he's around Cersei, 24/7, pretty much.
I don't think a member of the Kingsguard could get anywhere near that party without everyone scattering.
Right. They certainly wouldn't be telling a story about the queen with one of the Kingsguard standing in the back.
He was so big that no one noticed him. They thought he was a pillar.
Great Kingsguard costume.
Yeah. We kind of get a pouty conversation between Mira and Bran. Mira's kind of questioning, what are we doing? There's a war going on, but we're just...
Right,
and we're gonna chill underground and just
the child here. Of the forest tell her that Bran needs her help when he leaves.
Yeah, did she say we're not gonna leave? Be here?
She said that they're not gonna be here forever.
He's gonna leave warging in Hodor, right? He's gonna wield Hodor as his conveyance.
Is that what you think?
Take a ride on the Hodor Express.
Exactly. So I think that's the only capacity in which Bran will leave.
And did they replace the guy who was a three-eyed raven? It's
Well, like, what's his name now?
Max von Sydow. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Oh. It I feel being like
it was before. It was likewise. Somebody else.
Yeah, last someone year. We didn't know though.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
It was Ian McDiarmid. No,
is that a real person? Somewhere it is.
That's Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, okay.
Who was portrayed by a different actor in his first appearance.
Who played Victarion?
I don't know, but I didn't like him.
There's a guy, the guy from, one of the actors from Deadwood is in Game of Thrones this season, but I haven't seen him show up. His name's Ian something.
That might be him.
Was that him?
Maybe. I've never seen Deadwood, but I kind of recognized him a little bit. I was like, I've seen this guy somewhere. What else did we miss?
I was happy to see Missandei.
Oh, well, so, yeah, I mean, so Tyrion's just kind of like, did you get along with the dragons? Yeah, and then I thought they were going to take her down with them to help parlay with the dragons.
That's what I assumed. I thought it was like, all right, well, the dragons won't kill you. If I'm with you, they'll know that I'm a friend. But I guess that was too complicated. Yeah.
So Brienne and Sansa have a little conversation.
Yes, it was
Sansa's. That. You know, oh, I wish
Sansa. Oh, I screwed up. Oh, it's okay. It was. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
What do you do with a problem called Theon Greyjoy? Sometimes Reek.
Hug him.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, he is a pathetic wretch, but he listed off the laundry list of his crimes, and they are
many.
They are many and unforgivable. She's just. I mean, I guess she has an immediate reason to be happy with him, but
right,
he did save her life, but that can't erase the rest.
No, right. It doesn't, and he knows that. But he should have gone to the wall. Only place he's. Well, I guess he.
That scene was fucked up too, man. There were a lot of problematic kind of.
I would think encounters. He would be afraid and ashamed to return to the Iron Islands after he's been, you know.
Well, the last thing that he knows about any of it is that they tried to rescue him, so he probably maybe, all right, well, I'm welcome there.
Yeah.
But I don't think he will be welcome.
But their whole sort of culture is based on strength, and he's weak and diminished and mutilated, and he's not going to have much warmth or standing among his people if he returns.
Well, Baelor didn't like anybody. I mean, I guess he said... There are some dude captains that are pretty great out there to kind of poke at what's her name?
Oh, at Yara.
Yeah.
Oh, Baelor said that?
Well,
Baelon,
yeah. Not Baelor.
Baelor.
No Victarion Greyjoy listed.
No.
Pilu Asback is Euron Greyjoy.
Oh, so that is Euron Greyjoy.
Euron.
There you go.
Yeah. So which one's Victarion?
I don't think Victarion
has shown up yet.
Euron is the big
and that's
badass,
what I was saying though. Before. I think Victarion was the badass guy in the books.
I thought so too.
But he sort of referenced something.
Did they make an
something
amalgam?
About from Old Town to wherever people were
right.
afraid of him or
yeah.
something?
Whenever they see our sails, then
which those kind of sounded faintly familiar to things he said in the book.
I guess yeah, I kind of got those two probably.
Crow's Eye. Younger brother of Balin, hated by all his brothers, wears a patch over his left eye. He's nicknamed Crow's Eye.
And that's...
He was banished.
Victarion?
Yeah, so that is. So Victarion is somebody else.
Okay.
Well, he was the responsible brother that... there's an extra brother in the mix. He was like the... I don't know. Helping Balon.
Well, there's four of them from the book. Four brothers. Balon, Euron, Victarion...
And damp Aeron
damp hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so there's still one more brother to maybe see. We'll see.
Maybe, but I don't think. Who knows?
That actually. Wasn't him. The guy on the beach with the long hair.
That was Aeron.
That was damp one hair. Of them.
Aeron, yeah. Damp hair.
Right.
But isn't Victarion was the one with the horn, right?
No.
God. I think it must have been Euron.
Yeah. I got the names mistaken.
So that's not Ian McShane, though. Ian McShane's role still unknown, according to the wiki.
Oh, Ian McShane from Deadwood.
Ian McShane.
Not just anybody from Deadwood.
The main, right, the main guy.
The guy from Deadwood.
It's Swearingen.
Yeah. Who might he be?
Hmm. Could he be a Tower of Joy person?
Oh, just in a flashback?
Oh.
Could he's be. Too old to be one of those young rascally knights.
Wascally?
Wascally whites.
Ooh. I can't say that.
Who could he be?
I don't think
he's stumped.
I don't think it's anybody from the books. Maybe they've invented a new character for him.
Who knows? Who knows?
House Swearingen.
Swingen. Cocksucker.
Well, all right, so John's alive, and he just, I mean, wasn't he out long enough for some real corpse maintenance problems to come into play?
You know, psh.
It's so cold up there. Preserved.
I wanted that resurrection to be creepier.
God, yes. Anythinger.
They really did it in typical, everybody knew, you're all going to walk away and then he's going to open his eyes and the episode's going
to
end.
The sound was great, yeah. The sound was cool. Like, I don't know if you were paying attention to the music was pretty great.
I guess I don't remember it.
The best sound in the show was when the tall tale teller turns around and pees on the mountain's armor. Did you hear the metallic sound of the urine?
The tinkle.
Nice. Well done. Nice touch.
We should have at least seen how big the guy's cock was before he got killed. We had to know if he's telling the truth.
Yeah. If he's telling the truth, spare him.
I feel cheated.
All right, so I got a question then. We had the assassination, the coup in Dorne last week. Mm-hmm. So you think that subplot's just over now? You think they're just going to wrap that up, or they did nothing with
it? No way. The Sand Snakes are going to somehow
Tommen
be part of
it. Was asking who killed Trystane.
Yeah.
Have we found his killers?
And suspected his own mother. But. Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if this is something we want to get into, but in the scenes from next week, we saw an unfamiliar warrior facing off in some skirmish. I'm going to suspect that we will learn what Prince Doran's plan was, his long-term plan. And I think, so he had another character in play that he was grooming in his own way for the Iron Throne. And I think that will be him.
Hmm.
That's my guess.
That's right, he was. And who was that character?
It was
Quentin Martell.
Yes, it was Quentin Martell, but I don't really remember what was special about him.
Quentin was the kid that went over to Meereen and got roasted by the dragons.
Right. Maybe they haven't gotten around to doing that on the show yet. So maybe he'll still go out there and try and do that. And his arrival will, I don't know. Maybe some boats will be involved.
So are we to assume then that the leader of the Sand Snakes, the bastard of Dorne,
Ilaria
Sand.
So we're to believe that the rest of Dorne is just going to follow her now,
or someone that she helps put into power,
which is who?
Yeah, I feel.
I still think that maybe her comment of Dorne will never be ruled by a weak man again might mean something else. We'll see.
Gynocracy.
Gynocracy.
Well, that's one of the...
Gynocracy. Sorry.
Dorne doesn't have the same rules of inheritance that the rest of the Seven Kingdoms do. Women can be in line to rule with the family, but not bastards.
We'll see. It's interesting.
She doesn't have to be considered the Lord of Dorne to be kind of throwing her weight around and calling the shots.
True.
Cersei style.
Yeah.
So what's she so mad at Cersei for anyway?
It's not Cersei in particular she's mad at, really, is it?
She kept saying she wants revenge on Cersei last week.
Oh, what did Cersei do to her?
I just feel like that whole...
Well, the families aren't too good.
Well, yeah, but... I guess it's there's no one left really for her to take vengeance on except.
Well, she
Cersei.
Killed Myrcella. I mean, so she kind of got Cersei.
You'd think that was
that, I mean, that's not enough.
I don't think it's enough. It's
not enough. All right.
We got a little Arya fighting again.
She said the right thing to Jockin.
She didn't. I still thought he was going to leave her out on the street and be like, okay, you know, just stay out here still. But apparently she gets to go back somewhere.
They're going to hopefully move along, establishing her...
Come on.
Progression of training. There's a lot of little threads in play this season. I'm happy if they keep the Arya ones short and sweet. Don't really need to see her spend a whole season as
training,
right. You know, in one role just to move on to the next one, where they're moving at a very slow pace in the books.
We still haven't seen Littlefinger yet this season.
Right, he's supposed to be back with the Army of the Vale, isn't he?
Did he sort of imply
that he had the armies of the Vale could fight in the snow, and they were going to head north, and
they were. What was he charged with, or what did he promise to do?
I thought he promised to go and basically take the north with the armies of the Vale.
Don't they already have the north with the armies of the Boltons?
What about the east? Who will look after the east?
Well, because his plan was to have Sansa marry Ramsay, and
but he was waiting to have that
probably go a little more well than it did.
Who was he talking to when he was saying recommend patience? We should wait until Stannis and both the Boltons kill each other, and then they should swoop in and conquer the winter.
Okay, maybe that's
what he was happening. Talking to Cersei in King's Landing then. So Cersei, they already knew that they weren't somehow, that they couldn't trust Bruce Bolton, maybe?
Maybe.
It's also confusing.
Especially, when they're bringing back characters from years ago. But they all play a part in the end game, the glorious dragon
riding. In the Game of Thrones.
That's right.
The end Game of Thrones.
The preview from next week, it seems like everybody thinks John's some sort of god, maybe, or something. So we'll see how that all goes. We've got Sir Alistair and Ollie thrown in the black cells. Poor Ollie.
Where they belong?
He made a poor choice.
Yeah, fuck that kid.
Yeah.
God.
He doesn't understand.
Well, you know.
He doesn't know any better.
No.
He's just a farm boy a few months ago. Until some nasty Thin came and
ate his family.
Until he shot Ygritte.
Yeah. Right. He's responsible for killing John and his
girlfriend.
Girl.
Well, yeah, tenuous, but.
Yeah. Is John going to have all his capacities? Is he just going to be normal?
Good question. He was raised through the weakest ass spell the Red God has ever seen, probably. The most like.
Well, I thought they might go all the way back to season one and the witch that Dany bargained with to save Khal Drogo.
No.
A life for a life or something like
that. Get that horse in here.
That someone. I thought maybe Davos or somebody was going to sacrifice themselves to.
I thought Melisandre was basically going to sacrifice herself.
I thought she might.
She's pretty down in the dumps. Yeah. If Davos gets taken off the show, man, I'm done.
Yeah. He's your kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Sir Craig Seaworth.
He's my favorite.
Well, he's not going to be riding any dragons, so.
Shut up.
Maybe a Hydra or something.
He need no damn dragon. He's the he'll onion knight.
He'll be riding an onion.
A horse named Onion, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's crying all the time when he rides her.
All right, so who didn't we check in with this week?
I think
Dany.
Yeah.
No Dany, no Dorn.
No Dany, no Dorn.
It's a Bob Marley song.
Well, okay. Let's see what John has to say when he slides off the slab.
He didn't have blue eyes, though, so he's not some...
That's right.
He's well-groomed now.
He's not a walker.
shaving a haircut.
Yep.
Like I said.
Bump, bump.
I wonder if they'll have him be like Lord Beric, though, where he sort of feels...
like he's lost a piece of himself.
Uh-huh. A lesser shadow of his former self.
They should have done some cool warging scenario with him. They missed opportunity.
Yeah, they sort of brought him back, but in the most boring way possible.
Yeah.
He should have kind of just stretched and like did a yawn and...
put Mike in charge. That's
What's
good.
What's up, you guys? Hand me that rope.
I need a shower.
Where is everybody? Hey, let me out of here. Come on, come back.
Where are all these holes?
That's all I got.
All right.
All right.
All right.
See you next week.